We're continuing the study in 1 Corinthians tonight. And tonight it's going to be chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11. Chapter 12. And I'll be reading from the NIV, New International Version. And again, in studying the Corinthian letters, Paul had addressed many questions to the Corinthians, and questions concerning marriage, liberties, headship, the Lord's Supper, eating meat that had been offered to idols. So here he's addressing another question here to the Corinthians, and it's concerning spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 1, be reading through verse 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Well, again, in the previous chapters, Paul has addressed subjects again, such as marriage, liberties, headship, the Lord's Supper. In the last verse of chapter 11, verse 34, Paul states, "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come." The commentary from our brotherhood states that Paul will address more about the Lord's Supper when he is with them. But here in chapter 12, Paul begins to address the question about spiritual gifts. The first verse in the King James Version begins with "now" concerning spiritual gifts. The Greek term "now" is better translated "but." So in verse 1 it would read, "But concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." From the commentaries I read, the word "spiritual" in Greek means matters in contrast to earthly things. The commentaries go on to state these supernatural matters or spiritual gifts that it speaks of were both temporary and they were both necessary during the infancy or the beginning of the church, because at the time these gifts were revealed, or these gifts revealed the truth was incomplete. Later in this chapter, Paul will say, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So as a way of proving that their messengers were actually from God and not from man, the apostles were able to confirm what they were teaching by the use of supernatural spiritual gifts or miracles. Remember, these same gifts or same powers came to the apostles in Acts 2. We read in verse 1 through 4, So on the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Other people also received some of these gifts by the apostles laying hands on them. In Acts 8, verses 14 through 19, we read, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So we continue verse 2 and 3, 1 Corinthians 12. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except the Holy Spirit. So here Paul is reminding them to remember the state that they had come out of. The Corinthians now were Christians, but instinctively should remember the spiritual state or the condition that they were in before their conversion. In a sense, Paul here is reminding them of their helpless and lost former condition. And again, he's reminding them of the idols that they worship, that they were perilous, ineffective. Their worship was dead. Paul warns the Corinthians not to fall into the same trap as they did before their conversion. So now they are facing the same dangers of being misled by those who claim they are filled with the Spirit and are not. In McGarvey's book, he tells us that the people were often led away to the idols or to idol worships because the priest would often use speaking tubes which were concealed behind the idol or the idols, and another priest would speak into it to make it appear the idol itself was talking to them, giving them instruction or answering their questions. So Paul is reminding them these idols are nothing. Again, they were powerless. They were dead. In verse 3, the Apostle Paul gives the Corinthians the criteria to use in testing what is truth and what is error. The Corinthians had to be very careful in deciding whom to believe because of the many false, you could say, religions, idols. There were even magicians who traveled through their city. Paul concludes verse 3 with, Jesus is Lord, is the Lord. This knowledge comes only by the Holy Ghost. One of the commentaries I read from says, Paul was teaching the Corinthians that if someone was negative about Christ with the way they speak, they were not of God. But if they speak positive about Christ, then they were led by the Holy Spirit. Verses 4 through 6, again from the NIV. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. The Holy Spirit came to the apostles and gave them a number of gifts and powers. And these gifts enabled each one of them to perform miracles to spread the cause of Christ. These different gifts or powers were also rendered by the apostles to others through the Holy Spirit. But all of the gifts came by the authority of Jesus. It is the same God who exalted Jesus as Lord and put everything under his subjection and gave to him to be the head over all things, to the church, which is his body. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. No gift that was given was for that individual's own personal good. These gifts were never to be used to help themselves. I have read that the ones that was considered highly gifted often was persecuted the most. But no one was to use their gift to help themselves or to benefit themselves personally or to provide gain for themselves personally. Nor did the possession of a gift give them moral strength." Paul now starts in verses 8 through 10 naming some of these gifts. Beginning in verse 8, it says, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues." So in these three verses, Paul names nine gifts. Paul states these gifts that are mentioned are coming from the Spirit because he is the one actually imparting the gifts. So we must always keep in mind the Holy Spirit does not act independently from the will of the Father or the Son, but is done by the instruction of God. Whether Paul intends for these gifts to be categorized or not, the main thought here is that the gifts are from the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom refers to the intelligent utterance of God's wisdom, his knowledge. Simply put, it is the ability of expressing oneself to be able to communicate God's will to others. The gift of knowledge, reading from our Brotherhood's commentary, this gift was given to the prophets and refers to having the understanding or insight of things to come. This gift was mentioned again in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. In the chapter that's referred to as the chapter of love. In verse 8 it begins, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." The gift of faith, this faith here is not the faith, I think, that is essential to every person before becoming a Christian. Instead, from the commentary, it refers to the higher realization of divine things, which enables a man to remove mountains, so to speak, meaning with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. The gift of healing, from the Greek, this word is actually plural. There are many kinds of healing, because there are many kinds of diseases. And these gifts of healing are mentioned many times throughout the scriptures. Just a few of them we read about in Mark 16 and 18. Here it begins, it says that they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. In Acts 3 and 8, it says, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And again in Acts chapter 5, 15 through 16, here again this was the result of the healing by the apostles. It says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. So there was many instances in the Bible where those people around were healed by Jesus and by the apostles. One was the gift of working miracles. All of the gifts mentioned were miraculous in nature. However, this gift seemed to refer to the outcome produced by the exercise of extraordinary powers, unlike it ever been seen before. In other words, the miracles performed would have otherwise been impossible to accomplish unless it was through the power of God. For example, the expulsion of demons, or raising the dead, or drinking deadly things without harm to themselves. The gift of prophecy would be the ability to predict future events or the ability to repeat spiritual truths from God. This gift should be appreciated more when we remember that the New Testament at this time was not in existence. It was not in print, only in the minds of those who had received it and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We might also note that this gift of prophecy passed away after completing of the New Testament. The gift of discerning of spirits means the gift of distinguishing or judging or forming a correct judgment on spirits, which one is true, which one is false, such as distinguishing whether or not someone is a false teacher, a false prophet. The gift of divers kinds of tongues from Thayers means the ability or power to speak in various languages in order to teach and confirm the truth. Contrary to many that believe in speaking in tongues, that still today, it's not some sort of gibberish or jargon that is spoken that no one understands. But it was a language that could be understood or stood by the one who was familiar with that language. Being able to speak in a foreign tongue allowed the apostles, it allowed preachers or teachers to communicate to people living in a different country. And without this gift, it would not have benefited the gospel to have been spread in other areas. The last gift was the interpretation of tongues. This was the God-given ability to translate different languages. Again, without this gift, it would have been impossible to spread the gospel. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So all these miraculous gifts were given again by the power of the Holy Spirit. All these gifts work in unity with each other. And all these nine gifts spoken of were given as the Holy Spirit saw fit. The miraculous gifts were given for a special purpose, and they were only for a specific time. So again, remember these gifts were not given to last throughout the dispensation of time. Again, the gifts were temporary and were used to confirm the teaching of these inspired men, used by them to spread the gospel to those thereabout. In closing, we read from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Again, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears." All of these gifts were given for the purpose of building the church of our Lord and Savior, for spreading the gospel. All of the gifts were given for the purpose of serving Christ. None of these gifts were for the purpose of making one person greater than anyone else, or for that person to have gain. The same principle serves the church today. Within the church, we have many members with different talents and abilities. So whatever talent and ability that you have, that you have been given by God, you and I are to use it to serve the Lord and to serve His church. Not for our benefit, but for the benefit of God, to serve God and His Son Jesus. And I might also say that none of these gifts found here in 1 Corinthians were more important than the other. They all have the same value. Just as the talents and abilities each of us have, we are all still one body and should be all working together. The things mentioned in these verses, it was important for each one of them, and they all had to work together to benefit the whole. Just as today, we should work together to benefit the whole body of Christ. It's all the thoughts that I have on this chapter tonight, or the first 11 verses. We never close the service without extending the offer invitation. If there is one here who has never obeyed the gospel, the Bible teaches that you are to have faith, you are to hear the word of God, believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ, repent of your sins, and confess Christ to be the Son of God, and last, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. The Bible teaches that upon doing this, that your name will be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible also teaches that if you're a child of God, you committed a public sin, you're in need of confession of that sin, that you have an advocate with the Father as well. So if there be one subject to the invitation, we come while we stand and while we sing.